Yeah, it's working. Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Today we have Bill Heffington, our local Calhoun County Sheriff. Bill, thank you for being here.
I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, I've been excited to do this for a while. So Bill, yeah, I've known you since I came back to Calhoun County. That's quite a while ago, 15 years ago, something like that. I think you've been sheriff the whole time.
Yeah, I've been on my fifth term.
Okay.
So I've been here a while. I lived in Calhoun my whole life. So, I mean, I've raised and growed up here. We grew up with a fishing pole in one hand and a 22 in the other hand. We were kids, and we pretty much squirrel hunted, we duck hunted, we rabbit hunted, we quail hunted, we butcher our own hogs, butcher our own cattle, we self-sufficient off land, raised a lot of garden, we canned a lot of product, and that's how we grew up. I mean, we were poor, but we didn't know we was poor, but we ate good, so, and we worked hard, so.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of American dream.
Yes, it is. I mean, we grew up in a little, well, when we were kids, we didn't have running water in the house. We had outside facilities where you had to go use the bathroom and a two-seater old wooden one. And then we didn't even have running water. Everybody used the same water, take a bath in an oblong tub. And until the late 60s, when we finally got running water, moved into a different house. So, yeah, it was quite a change.
So, and you've been in the Brussels area, the Batchtown area.
I live in the same hollow. I was raised up and born there, and it's a five generation farm, and now I've got a hold of it. We ended up acquiring some more acreage that borders our property. So me and my brother did. So it's been good, and we do a lot of hunting down there. I let a lot of kids hunt, a lot of first time experience, a lot of these youth, and that just. Me, it's just more exciting watching those be successful than myself, you know. So I said, I grew up hunting when I was a kid, and I like seeing kids hunting. I like promoting it. So keep our American heritage going. So
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so you got an early start when it came to hunting.
Oh, yeah,
and fishing.
I was probably start hunting when I was 5 years old. So,
okay. And there's thinking about the different stories that you told me over the years. There, I don't think there's a thing that you don't really like to hunt.
No, I just, we hunted a lot of stuff we ate. I mean, people won't believe, like, we used to eat coon, we ate muskrat, we ate beaver. I mean, we made a lot of our own dog food out of cornmeal and meat scraps. And we'd go to meat market and buy his cracklings, you know, when we rendered lard out, and we mixed that with the corn. And we always used bacon grease. Cast iron skillet, and we always had slick hounds back then, you know, and it was pretty reasonable compared to now. So,
and so something interesting. What were some of the first things that you became? You know,
squirrel hunting was my first thing. My dad introduced me to that, and catching a fish out of the creek.
Okay,
he was a commercial fisherman, so we got to learn a lot of ropes on making nets and. Making some trammel net sets, you know, in the river, stuff like that. So, but squirrel hunting was number one. Like I said, Mom, her birthday's on August 1st, and that's when squirrel season always started, August 1st. So that story when I killed my first squirrels, we used to feed them along the creek. And when August 1st comes, Mom's birthday, she said, you know, I kept after getting them squirrels off that tree over there because it always – feeding off that tree, and Dad always give me a little rifle, bolt action rifle with birdshot in it. You couldn't shoot over 10 feet, so he had to get close. And I aggravated my mom so much, he said, well, go ahead and go. You can't kill anything anyhow. And I was a little, I couldn't have been over 4 foot tall. I went over there and I knocked them all off of there, and that's how I got my nickname. She said, you little poacher, you. So when we used to run dogs, we had CB radios and walkie-talkies, so that's what I just fell right into that. So that's what Mom gave me that nickname. So
that's awesome. So
shooting, but we ate those squirrels for her birthday that night for supper. So every year I try to get her miss the squirrels on the first day of squirrel season, August 1st. So she'd have, she always liked squirrel eating. You know, mom was old fashioned. She made a lot of homemade stuff. She could make a gourmet meal out of almost nothing. You know, we had a lot of soup bones. Like I said, we saved everything when we butchered. And, yeah, it was good times. I mean, boy, we put up a ton of hay, picked a lot of peaches, bought my first truck with all the apples and peaches and hay we put up and pruning. And back then we pruned with a hand pruners and a little cross-cut saw by hand, nothing gas. Everything's by hand. So we tough little fellers back then. So
but yeah,
it's just a change of life, you know? So,
yeah.
We grew up tough, but we had work ethic we loved to hunt, and that's what we did. You know, mom used to make a lot of cream potatoes out of the garden with a squirrel, and I mean, you name it, we had it. I mean, it was good. So that's where I learned how to cook from her.
So as you were growing up, were there different stages of hunting, or how did you? I'm sure you didn't hunt everything all at once. You probably got into one thing before the next, and then it kind of accumulated. Walk us through that a little bit.
Well, Dad, when we grew up, you know, like I said, we grew up in the country, and Dad had coon dogs. Then we got into little coyote hounds, and we raised our own stock, and along with some other hunters in the area, and so we ran some dogs, and we coon hunted, so hunting was in the family.
Yeah,
you know, it was just a way of life back then. And, mm-hmm. You know, when we butchered, you know, we went to all the neighbors. We helped each other out. Everybody had to, well, back then, everybody made their own homemade cider, and they always go around and see who had the best cider in the community because we helped everybody do their butchering, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a family-united county.
Oh, wow.
You know, back then, everybody knew everybody. Everybody pretty much hunted on everybody, and it was just a good unity. You know, everybody knew everybody, and everybody was in the same boat. Nobody had no money. Everybody just helped each other out, and that's just the way the times were back then. They were tough, but like I said, everybody got along good. We ate good. We worked hard, and it was good. I mean, all the neighbors were neighbors. You know, you could go over there, and everybody be sitting on the porch in the hot sun beating down, drinking tea. And it's just more sociable life. Now everybody's social on social media and cell phones. But back then, when I grew up, you had the old phones where had party lines. It connected about three or four of your neighbors. So when you was on the phone, everybody else was listening too. that's just the way it was back then.
Hard to keep a secret.
That's
then.
Back in the 60s, you know. And we just learned how to fish, learn how to clean fish, learn how to cook it, you know, same way with the squirrels and the deer. I mean, back then when we was hunting, deer season only lasted 3 days in November, 3 days in December. That's all the deer season was. Wasn't no bow hunting back then. So, I mean, until deer kept getting thicker, everybody running dogs, killed a lot of coyotes, the deer population growed. You know, and then now it's got pretty much exploded, but now the dog run's getting to be extinct. Nobody's running dogs anymore. So that's why I took up calling coyotes, you know. It's just, it's easier, it's cheaper. Well, to a stint, so your equipment, but I hate using substandard equipment. I like the best. So
right.
I like to have the good stuff when I'm out there hunting because you don't get many opportunities. So
you turned me on to that Pulsar.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I got two I used Pulsar and Trigicon. My first one was Trigicon.
Okay.
My wife wasn't very happy when I paid for it, but we survived, so.
Right, right.
I like good equipment. With equipment I got now, you can identify your target for a long ways, probably 400 or 500 yards. You can even tell if they're mangy or partial mange or furred out good. I mean, it's the quality of the stuff you got. You can get cheaper stuff, or you just depends on what you buy. Just like a pair of shoes, you want to buy a $10 pair of shoes or a $200 pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. Same way with anything you buy, it's the quality of stuff. So, I'd elected to get the good stuff right off the bat. You know, that's how I sold it to my wife because I said, you know, if I buy something I don't like, then I got to replace. I just will buy something good to start with. So that's what I did, and then I added the binoculars, you know, your eyepieces where you got the. I got the scanners where we can scan. I bought tripods, set the rifle on. So I got the point now where I got two guns, two thermals, and I got three scanners. So when I take somebody over, take one of the kids hunting, they got something to see the same thing I'm doing. And I let them shoot the bolt action. I shoot the automatic. I always back them up. So and it's a lot of fun. If you miss, you just laugh about it.
Right, right.
And tell that coyote you'll see him next year. He ain't coming back.
Yeah, there's a pretty diverse amount of coyotes in Calhoun from what I've been seeing lately.
Yeah, so everybody's got them on their game cameras now, and they're getting more and more every year, and they got good habitat. I mean, the brush honeysuckle's taking over. The brush, you know, it's hard on the turkey population because turkeys can't get away from that stuff. They get underneath that brush honeysuckle. They fly to get away from stuff. Well, they grab them.
Right.
You know, same way with the bobcats. You know, they're putting haddock on their turkey population. And then if anybody likes coon hunt, I'd recommend coon hunt and opossum hunt because they get a lot of eggs in the spring of year when they're ready to hatch, and that's hard on your turkey population also. So, you know, wildlife's got you know, a lot of regulations in place, but that's what it's there for, to keep everything in check. You know, just like the coyote hunting, the places we've coyote hunted where there's a lot of coyotes, the deer population is way down, and where the coyote population's light, there's deer everywhere. And then like I said, I like deer when I'm coyote hunting because you get out in these open fields and stuff and long draws and ridges, them deer spot them coyotes like that. When you see deer taking off running full blast, get ready because the coyote's coming.
Right.
And they spot that too, and then you get certain areas they're not bothered. Well, the coyote can walk through a deer, and deer just look at them, you know. So you can tell the same way with cattle. When cattle get spooky, when coyotes are around, you know the coyotes are bothering them, but you can tell a lot what's around the surrounding wildlife, what's going on in Mother Nature. So I know I've had some buddies of mine send me video of coyotes catching deer, which is very seldom, but they do happen.
Yeah.
In front of their game cameras, we just think what's out there you don't see.
Yeah.
What they're catching, you know. And I know I got a lot of cameras that they sent me were coyotes carrying fawns. So, you know, when the fawns are being born, the coyotes got pups. So the old ecosystem's going to come in. The coyotes are going to catch everything they can and carry that den.
Right.
You know, for their pups. And when you got a lot of coyotes, there's a lot of fawns. And I think I seen an article the other day where coyotes are high. The fawn ratio is like 0.4 compared to one fawn per doe in the early years. So
slow growth.
Yep. So that's why you get areas you don't have many deer, because coyotes and the bobcats are wearing them out in the spring of the year when they got young. So. They're going to feed their young, so
yeah.
It's part of Mother Nature.
Right.
And the way the laws and regulations are there to keep things in check. So and that's why they got, you turn all that stuff in, and people, the conservation got an idea of what's out there, you know, to help make the laws, to help either up the population or down it. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's a good thing about keeping everything in check with it.
Coyote,
I've been hunting coyotes since I was, probably in the late 60s when I was a young lad, when the neighbors had dogs, and I just fell in with them, and we started raising our own dogs. So I've been hunting these things for, hell, probably ever since I was 8, 9, 10 years old. So,
man.
So I've been at it a long time. It's all been Calhoun, and we walked everywhere. Didn't have side-by-sides, or most time didn't have any CB radios, just had a walkie-talkie, you know, and we walked everywhere, and most times, dogs, if they didn't come home, somebody'd call you, and they'd be at somebody's yard. So, now they got electronics where it's the GPS tracking, everything. They know where the dogs are at, everything else. But I ain't had dogs for 6, 7 years. So, I had to replace something. I wouldn't quit coyote hunting. So now we got into the calling aspect of coyote hunting. And it's been a learning experience over the last 6 years, believe me. You
know, so. Always is, right?
You know, what works one night don't work the next night. And the coyote's one of the most intelligent, educated, weariest animals I've ever hunted. I mean, they got a king nose, they got a king eyesight, but at nighttime their vision ain't as good. So the moonlight nights are tough. And then the wind, east winds, you know, are not the best nights to go. But you got to play the wind on these coyotes, and you got to have areas to see, because they hear you, they'll follow into the wind, and They'll want some of these hollows and ridges. They smell you, and you know they're even there until you see them running, going over the next ridge. They know you're already there. So the more you hunt them, the wilder they get. So they're a smart animal. If you miss one, he won't be around for a while. He'll avoid you. So
I hear that. Well, we're gonna take a minute and hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville. The voice of the Tri-Counties, I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. And with us, we have Sheriff Bill Heffington, Calhoun County. Bill, we were just talking about how coyotes are really just a survivor of a species, of an animal. And, you know, I kind of have a thought on that with, you know, anymore, seems like waterfowl migration happens more at night, like the type of hunting pressure that happens to these animals. And there isn't a single thing out there that really is rooting for a coyote to survive.
You know, the coyote, the only predators he's got is man, really. I mean, you can't poison one, because I've seen studies around where they can smell that in the meat. If you get a diseased deer, they won't eat it.
Right.
It's just amazing, because in my business, you know, we've had some sick deer. Mm-hmm. Doesn't all take them up to the farm for a barium, you know, even sometime in the winter, they won't eat them.
Yeah.
They just will not touch them. You have another one there, and they'll just eat it up overnight. And then they are a very king sense animal, king knows. I don't think they can smell that stuff or what, but they're a survivor. They said there'll be the only two things left on earth, them and cockroaches. So,
that's true.
But they are a sharp animal, and I mean, what other animal can you see running around the middle of the winter when zero weather and be mangy?
Right.
You know, and when you start seeing mange, that's coyotes are getting pretty thick around. That's usually a sign when they start getting mange in. But they're tough. They can survive, it seemed like. So, but so far this year, we've only got two mangy ones, which surprised me as thick as a coyote, because every time we've made sets, we've heard lots of them. But they're pretty moody. I mean, the weather and everything's got to be right. And the best nights are frosty nights and no wind. That helps the game a little bit and be more successful. But breezy nights, I mean, some nights you think it won't be worth a hoot, and it'll be good. It's hard to predict.
It's what Mother Nature.
Like I said, one works one night, won't work the others. But coyotes are like deer hunting. You know, when the rut comes on, that makes them a little bit more vulnerable to get you can get after them a little better, because it seems like every year around the rut, Valentine's Day, it picks up. Mm-hmm. November's a good month. December and January, it gets slow. You'll get streaks in there where you can kill a couple a night, three a night, and then you get a lot of zeros too, goose eggs. So, but then when the rut comes in, they're on the move, all the old males, and you can make some howls and get their attention, and they come looking for you. So, but I recommend you don't call too much, because once they know where you're at, they get into that wind. They always come into the wind where they can smell what's ahead of them. They're like radar. Coyote seemed like to me, he just senses you're around. I mean, they're that sharp. So, I mean, when you go in there, you walk in there, you quiet as you can be, and crunchy snow now, you're letting them know you're there. They got a king sense of hearing. Mm-hmm. They can hear you for a long way at night when it's quiet. So sometimes the wind, you can use your advantage, because they can't hear you when you're walking in. But like lately, all this crunchy snow, and then they won't travel that snow either because it hurts your feet. So it's hard to get them to come. That's the object we're having right now, trying to get them to come in, because I think that crunchy snow will crunch hard on their toenails and their pads, and they won't travel much. But we get a lot of response, but they won't come. So it just comes and goes with the territory. You got to catch the weather right. So I'm assuming as soon as this snow softens up, warms up at night, and you get out there before it crushes up, I think you'll be successful again. So
okay,
that's usually the way it goes. And the full moon is always tough. I can see in a full moon just like you can in the daytime, but the dark of the moon, I've seen dark of the moons. I sit out in the middle of a big field, me and my buddy, and we get them come right to us as long as they don't smell you. Mm-hmm. They look at you, but they can't make you out. But if that moon's shining, well, they're gone. I mean, they don't stand around and look, you take a picture of them, they're getting it. So they're pretty wild animals. So.
You think here in the areas like Calhoun, Green, Jersey, anywhere where the rivers are and you got these bluffs, you think there's some habitat density
they have a lot of dens in those rocks. There's a lot of sinkholes. Hell, coyotes can live in tubes.
Yeah.
They'll drainage tile, stuff like that in the middle of these fields. They're a tough animal. They adapt to whatever environment they got. I know I hear more and more people talk about coming into the towns, you know, because I know some of the places we hunt in Jersey County. Guys called me up hunting, you know, we start walking. I said, no, it's just hunting in your yard, in my yard. He said, they come here all the time trying to catch my pets and stuff. And yeah. Surprisingly, how we can kill a couple in a guy's yard where they want us to hunt. They said, they're getting brave, you know. There's really no predators for the coyote except us. You know, get hunt them, keep them in check. So, and more they're getting used to people. You know, you're getting hunting coyotes in the country, and then you get close to suburbs or stuff like that. Their coyotes are getting, you start seeing them in the cities now, but there's no pressure on them. But as soon as you get after them, then they get a little wiser and they get harder to get. But suburbs stuff, it's easy for them, easy prey. You know, they don't have to fight for it. You know, just go up and down the streets at night, and anything gets cats, they love cats. I know that. So,
yeah,
small dogs, you know, and I've seen them. Oh, I seen him get after coons. Hell, I've got a picture of a guy had on his game camera of a coyote got a bobcat treed. You know, that's, you don't see that very often, but I got a picture of that on my phone.
So, wow.
So they're, like I said, coyotes, most time they travel this time of year, twos and threes. I've seen high as six. Most we ever called in one time was six. I mean, we had six and four out in the field at the same time. We've seen eight, but you can't, they're probably all one litter, but it's hard. Sometimes you get them in, there are times they don't. Sometimes you can call just like duck hunting with a group of ducks. You might be able to pull one off of it, but the main group won't do it. You know, they stand back and watch, see what the action, hope they can flush something to them, you know, and they take it down as a pack. But no, it's a challenge all the time, coyote hunting. I hunted my whole life, and I think I've hunted about everything. You still duck hunting, a lot of deer hunting, but the coyote is the most challenging there is to hunt. And like I always say, it's a hunter hunting the hunter.
Yeah. I mean, right.
He's looking for you and you're looking for him. And they're both at they're both on high alert. So it's pretty much what I got to say on the coyote hunting. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's fun. It's cold. You know, it's, sometimes the warm nights don't work that good. They got a heavy fur on it. It warms up. They won't travel. There's like us going out in warm weather, a heavy coat on. You get hot, they're not going to respond as well.
Right.
But there's a certain threshold there where things work good. If you can find that to be the most successful. But I believe they feed up one night and they'll rest two or three nights where they feed up again. So you just got to be there nights. It's like fishing. You almost got to hit it every day to get the good days. Seemed like to me every 3 days, 4 days, we have good luck killing two or three or four, you know. But then other nights we get a big goose egg.
Yeah.
Don't do no good. So, and then again, we'll, the other night we had one 20 feet walked up some hay bales on us. Didn't see him coming around the edge of the hay bales. We was next to him. He was right there, you know, could have got him with a bayonet, you know. But, you know, we didn't get him either.
Right.
You know, they take out, get so fast, and get the brush on you so quick. They're quick. I mean, you can scan a field. Look out across an open field, and you don't see nothing. Turn around, look, there he is out in the middle of it. Where'd he come from? They're like ghosts.
Yeah.
They show up out of nowhere. You know, there's little swales you can't see. They travel the swales, the ditches, and the ravines, and when they pop up, there they are, you know. And like I said, the moon's shining around, and you move too much, you'll see it. But dark of the moon, they won't see you. They see you, but they can't make you out. Because that's the best night, dark nights. So,
okay.
No wind.
Well, that's the time we got for today, but we'll have you return and we'll talk a little bit more about this. So appreciate you coming out.
Well, this happy hunting, you know, it's a challenge. So, I mean, that's what makes it, that's why I like it. I like challenges, and hunting coyotes is a challenge. So,
that's the truth.
I mean, it's like I said, you get to hunt them. We try not to hunt every more than two or three times, especially if you miss one or two. It's pretty much over. I mean, they won't come. They'll bark at you and everything else, but they just, all they do is sit there and aggravate you and say, hey, we know you're there, and they ain't coming.
Right.
So that's just life of coyote hunting. They're sharp, and that's why I enjoy hunting, because it's such a challenge. And again, I hunt at night, so I work every day, but nighttime I got off, so that's my stress reliever.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, it's whether you get one or not, it's being out in the air. You sleep better in the fresh air, and you eat better too, because you're always hungry when you get back.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks again.